1 Corinthians 15, this is Paul. Think about the resurrection of Jesus. He says, "For I hand on to you as of first importance what I in turn have received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. And then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me." Would you pray with me? Ever-living God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable on this wonderful, glorious Easter day in your sight. Amen. I had a dear man in Commerce, Texas that taught me to be a pastor. I learned all the stuff you're supposed to learn in seminary. But you don't learn to be a pastor, and this man taught me to be one because of his spirit. Brother Lewis was a black minister of a black church down in the Hollow in Commerce, Texas. The Hollow was where all black folks lived. And sometimes I would see him and I would say to him, "How was your Sunday service?" or "How was your Wednesday evening service?" and whatever. And oftentimes he would say, "It was glorious." He'd say, "Glorious." He'd say, we were seeing Jesus." Well, he meant, of course, that they had felt that Jesus was really present with them in their worship. Their burdens were lifted, their needs and pains faded away, their spirits were strengthened and nourished. They were ready for another week of work and of family and of ministry to other people in the name of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful spirit. And I got to thinking about that as I thought about the Easter season. And I thought, you know, when the last chords of the Easter hymns are faded out, when we've said all we can say about Easter, what do we do on Monday morning? On a Monday morning in April, what do we say to a person who asks, "How is Jesus present now?" Well, I think that, like with most things, the Scriptures give us some clues. And the biggest clue is in the stories of how Jesus appeared to some folks after the resurrection. I want to rehearse those with you. They're kind of a tour through the Gospels, if you will. Think about the resurrection appearances. There was Mary Magdalene, right? By the tomb in the garden, where she saw the gardener who turned out to be the image of Jesus for her. There were the two disciples who saw Jesus, as they said, quote, in another form, as they were walking in the countryside. There was the 11 who sat at the table, minus Judas, of course. There were the 11 who went to the mountain in Galilee, followed by the Great Commission at the end of Matthew. There were the two, as we heard in our scripture this morning, there were the two who were on the road to Emmaus and experienced Jesus. There were the 10 who were in the locked room. And I say 10 because not only was Judas not there, but remember, Thomas was not there. He just didn't believe all that hooey, remember? Then there was the 11 at Bethany, probably in the Mount of Olives, and the disciples then, including Thomas, and then the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. Now, those appearances are not ghostly. If you read those scriptures, the appearances are not ghostly. They are mysterious, but they are real. Real people in real places. A stranger who walks with them on a road to Emmaus. A gardener who comes up to Mary, concerned by the tomb. It is in the breaking of bread, in the words of care and concern, that person becomes identifiable as Jesus. in Luke, the appearances, and catch these two words, the appearances are more than resuscitation. They aren't pump the guy with CPR until he breathes again. That's resuscitation of a dead body. They are not resuscitation of the flesh. They are resurrection, and that's a different matter. Clearly, the resurrected Jesus is not limited to looking like, acting like, and being like the carpenter from Nazareth, Mary and Joseph's son, John's cousin, if you will. The resurrected Jesus can come as a gardener with a kind and caring word. He can come as a stranger on the road who needs some rest and some food that they share with him. He can come as a person with whom they can share fish. There is no indication in Luke 24 that Jesus' hands and feet, when he appears to them, are scarred or pierced. These are not the hands and feet of one who has been crucified and died and resuscitated. These are the hands and feet of a real and whole person in whom they see Jesus resurrected. Now, when I do Bible study, I have some questions I ask myself. Now you're all going to know. This is the inside story. When I work on a scripture, when I work on a sermon, I ask myself some questions. I say to myself, I say, what? And then so what? And then now what? I do. What is this scripture saying? What's going on here? What do I need to know about what's going on? And then so what? What does that have to do with my daily life in this century? And finally, now what? What is it that scripture is asking me to do in response to the scripture? What? So what? And now what? Another way of looking at scriptures is to ask, what is this scripture asking me to believe and to feel? What is it asking me to believe and feel? What is it asking me to do? Take the scripture read this morning from Luke. What is it that Luke wants me to believe and feel from the story of Jesus on the Emmaus Road? What does he want me to believe and feel? First of all, Luke is asking me to believe that Jesus was risen from the tomb. He was not there, it says in quotes. He's asking me to believe that Jesus appears in the form of common folks, a man who joins them on the Emmaus Road, a gardener who comes up to Mary to comfort her. St. Martin of Tours saw Jesus and a beggar beside the road in the 4th century. Jesus appears as the whole scripture story is told on that road to Emmaus. Jesus appears as a kindness is shown to a stranger. Jesus is known as bread is broken in a faithful fellowship like this one. Luke is also asking us to believe, and he's asking us to feel something. He's asking us to feel the presence of the living Lord. You got to work at that. But remember Brother Lewis's flock? Huh? They were expressing what they felt. And they were expressing it as seeing Jesus. The scholars in the renewed quest for the historic Jesus, a lot of writing has gone on and a lot of research. One of the things they marvel at as they study and try to understand who the historic Jesus really was, one of the things they marvel at is the persistence of the resurrection story. Lots of other stories come and go. Lots of other stories are told one way, and then they're told another way, and then, you know. But the persistence of the resurrection story. Stories of people seeing Jesus, if you will. Most of those scholars know that any real historic evidence of that is inconclusive at best. Wouldn't it have been helpful if Jesus had just appeared at the next meeting of the Sanhedrin? would have solved a lot of problems, you know? Well, in Peter's Pentecost speech, Luke is asking me to believe that Jesus of Nazareth is both Lord and Messiah, that even those who crucified him can receive the Holy Spirit and can be blessed by him and forgiven if they repent and are baptized. The texts in the Gospels give us an interesting word. Luke 24 says, "The Lord has risen indeed." And Luke 4 refers to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom God raised from the dead. In many cases, if you do word studies, and I get into word studies, and my wife can tell you, I get into Greek word studies and silly things that, you know, nobody cares about but a preacher. But in many cases, the word risen or raised means more than rescued from death. Okay? It is an exaltation. Jesus has been exalted. Jesus, whom God exalted or elevated above the physical experience of death. Remember Brother Lewis's flock again. They so elevated Jesus above the human physical experience of death that they were seeing Jesus. Remember, we're talking about what the scriptures ask me to believe and ask me to feel. Let me try something on you. It's 29 AD. Jesus' ministry is still going on. You got that? 29 AD. "Have you seen Jesus?" somebody says. "Oh yeah," someone said. He was down by the sea this morning preaching. "Have you seen Jesus?" "No, not today, but they tell me he was down by the sea preaching this morning, and we hope he'll come to the synagogue this evening." I'll do a shift. It's 64 AD. Get the shift? 64 AD. "Have you seen Jesus?" "Yes. He was with us in our prayers in the catacombs this evening." "Yes, yes, we have. He shared the table when we broke bread." "Have you seen Jesus?" "Yes. He stood by me with strength as I stood by the tomb of my sister." Or in Lowell's 19th century poem, "The Vision of Sir Launfal," Sir Launfal would say, "Yes, yes, I've seen Jesus. I know he was in that leper at the gate." Several years ago, I would have said how much I look forward to seeing my mom and dad at Christmas. We always managed to get together at Christmas. They lived in Kansas and then in Missouri. But that was a long time ago. Today, I'd have to say, was Dad with me this year? Yeah, he was. In the things that were important to him that he liked to do and that he did well, he was with me when I worked on a picture frame. He was with me when I fixed the car. He was with me when I went out of my way for a friend. Because one of the things I remember him doing every time he went and got groceries was he got an extra bag for someone else. Same is true of my mom, who actually died on my birthday several years ago. Today I would say she was with me when I read a book, when I wrote an essay or a speech, when I speak to a group like this, or when I enjoy good music. Jesus did not appear to the Sanhedrin. Jesus appeared only to those who were his faithful companions and who allowed him to change their lives. And those scriptures tell me that Jesus is only seen by the faithful. I will see Jesus. You will see Jesus. In common folks, in common kindnesses, in common bread and wine. Because he is risen. He is exalted. He is raised up out of the grip of the experience of physical life and death so that he can be present in our life and in my life and in our life together and in millions of lives all at the same time. It's the faithful who get to see Jesus. That's the truth of the scriptures. Paul tells it like it is in Corinthians. Jesus can appear to those of us who are untimely born, born too late to see him in his original flesh. But we, like Paul, can encounter Jesus nonetheless. We can encounter him on any road, going to anywhere, when we are among the faithful. Would you pray with me? Ever-living God, lift Jesus up beyond the physical matter of death for us. And help us to look for him in those around us. And maybe express him in our own kind and caring and loving ways. In his name, amen.
Thank you.
Would you bow with me for a benediction? Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Go now as the resurrection people, alive in the Spirit and the way of Christ. Amen.